Welcome, everyone. This is Michael Bellamy, aka DJ Person. This is my podcast. You're hearing it raw as it happens. If you want to find me or reach out to me, give me ideas, questions, comments, criticism, you can get at me on Twitter. That's at DJ Person, at DJ P-E-R-S-I-N at Twitter. Same thing for Instagram. On Facebook, you can find me also. That's Mike, DJ Person, Bellamy.
I'm Austin Williams. I'm lucky enough to be the first guest on this podcast. You can reach me at on Twitter. You can reach me at Austin X Will, W-I-L-L. That's Twitter. On Instagram, you can reach me at Small Town Williams. Don't hit me up on Facebook unless you try to, you know what I'm saying? And actually, hit the boy on Snapchat if you're trying to, you know what I'm saying. That's Willie Fontaine, W-I-L-L-Y-F-O-N-T-A-I-N-E.
Person.
I'm standing here with my longtime friend of going on, 20 years? Man, I met you when he was like 4 years old, 5 years old, something like that. So, 19, 20 years. Can you believe it's been that long?
It felt like 20 years. Time went by.
Yeah. So just to give, just a brief introduction to who you are, just what you're about. Just tell the people where you grew up at, where you originally from.
Well, originally from Brooklyn. Just like Mike, again, my name is Austin Williams, originally from Brooklyn. Went to Queen of Los Angeles Catholic School, so I met the boy Mike. And moved to Long Island, grew up in Long Island most of my life, and then came to Harlem for school at City College, shout out to City College, and been living here ever since.
Cool. I mean, I always wanted to know how that transition was originally, like when you moved from Brooklyn to Long Island, and how it was like, because you moved in when you was young. Because I remember when you first moved, and I think it was like in second grade. You was the closest friend I had there. You still one of my closest friends, but you was one of the closest friends I had in Queen of All Saints. And when you moved, I was just like, well, what do I do now? I just lost my best friend. And you know, back then, your biggest fear or your biggest concern is, what time you gonna take nap, later on that day. You don't really have any major issues, but when you moved, it affected me too, because I'm just like, man, we was really close even back then. I remember distinctively, I don't remember how I found out.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I actually want to introduce this.
Okay.
That's what made moving to Long Island easier for me is the story I share about, well, the story I'm about to tell. And so originally I moved, started third grade year, I moved, but the house wasn't ready yet in Long Island, so we stayed in a hotel for a long time, it seemed like, when you're younger, seems like, forever. So we lived in a hotel for a while, and 8-year-old third grade you somehow, without 8-year-old third grade me telling you, somehow tracked down not only what hotel I was staying at, the room number, and the phone number for the room by yourself. no adult help. I can't
take full credit for it. I believe that probably my mom may have had, I can't recall, but I'm sure she helped me somehow find, where it was at, because she knew how close we was. My mom specifically was pretty close with your mother.
But I don't even think my mom told your mom. I think I found out some other suspected gadget type of way. But yeah, so I get a phone call. And we was all confused. We was like, yo, who is calling this phone? Man, no one knows we're here. And then it was you. And then that just became like our ritual, like almost every day. Just like talking on the phone every day. And that's what actually got me into, unbeknownst to you, you got me into a lot of stuff. First and most significantly, you got me into music. and me and you would just talk about music, and eventually we would start writing music together.
Yeah, I want to talk about that.
Yeah, and that, like, access that part of my brain, and now I'm a writer at an advertising agency. But we was also passionate about a lot of stuff. Like you turned, like, you're the biggest influence in terms of my little wrestling phase, why I liked wrestling when I was, like, probably from, like, 8 to, like, I probably stopped watching wrestling when I was, like, probably, like, 13, 14. Mm. But, yeah, like, that, I would say, other than writing, because I have a lot of writing influences, like, you influenced me to start writing, of course, with music and everything else, but cause I have a lot of writing influences, but I think in terms of watching wrestling and engaging with wrestling and having that be a part of my life, like, UW was the biggest influence in that, which is why I'm glad that you're doing this podcast. I think a lot of people are like me, where wrestling was a part of their lives for, like, at some point in time, but no one ever wants to talk about it because, like, they think it's, like, nerdy or they think it's uncool. Wrestling still has a stigma of being for little kids and adult nerds.
Yeah, it's not the popular thing, you know. But now that you mention it, funny thing is, when I got into wrestling, right, and I remember this. I got into it, I don't know if you remember it, but you were watching wrestling actually before I was, to tell you the truth, because I remember that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you was watching wrestling before I was. I wasn't into it. Well, it wasn't that I wasn't into it. My father was always a big wrestling fan. Yeah. He was the biggest wrestling fan, but he fell out of it because, you know, WWF back in the day, I guess he just didn't like what they was doing. And it's weird because most people fell in love during the Attitude Era, but there was a lot of, like, older fans that didn't like the way that the business was going. You understand what I'm saying? So, because they didn't like that. In the Attitude Era, what a lot of people don't remember or didn't know is that it was a lot of shades of gray. You know, you didn't have good guys anymore, you didn't have bad guys, or the bad guys were the good guys, you know, or, you know, in wrestling terms it would be considered called the baby Hills face. Heels and baby face, right. And, you know, it just changed the business. And, you know, it was a lot more violent, and a lot of the older people, a lot of old people didn't like that. They didn't like that style. So, but the reason I bring that up is because I got into it probably at the very, very end of the Attitude Era. Like, I missed most of the Attitude Era when, you know, you and a lot of other classmates was talking about it. Because I remember this. I do remember this. You guys were talking about it. I couldn't relate because I didn't watch it. My mother didn't want me watching wrestling. She didn't want me watching because she knew, you know, how what the business had become, you know. It was, you know, a lot of nudity, a lot of violence, a lot, just, and it's so much different now than it was, you know, 10-15 years ago.
I don't remember that. I don't remember being into it before you, like, that. I guess, like, my memory's not what it used to be, but I do remember my uncle, like my earliest memory of wrestling. Like I said, you had the most impactful memories, because, like, whenever your best friend is into something, like, that's going to be the most impactful for a little kid. Mm-hmm. But I remember my parents didn't watch wrestling. My parents hated wrestling, like, you know, like most conservative adults. But my uncle, shout out to Uncle Anthony, you know, he a little bit wild. He's less conservative. So, I don't remember what WrestleMania this was.
Yeah.
But he taped the WrestleMania where there was the Hardy Boys, the Dudley Boys, and Edge and Christian had, like, a three-way TLC match, I think it was. Yeah,
the most famous one they had.
Yeah, and that was the same WrestleMania that they had, like, the four-way match with Stone Cold Steve Austin, The Rock, Big Show, Triple H. And they had, like, the different McMahons in the corners.
Just the triple threat real quick. That was the ladder match where Edge speared Jeff Hardy over the top.
I think so, yeah. I only had a couple matches at WrestleMania that was like that. I forgot.
Because that one specifically was at WrestleMania 17. I'll never forget that. But the main event of WrestleMania 17 was Rock and Austin. I do remember Rock. Stone Cold Steve Austin.
So maybe I'm thinking of the one before that.
The one before that was the Fatal 4-Way when everybody had a big
fan. I never remember that was the main event. But I think the Hardy Boys did have some type of match for Edge and Christian and the Dudleys. WrestleMania 16 also. And then, like, there was this, like, crazy It was like, do you remember the Hardcore Championship?
Yeah,
like,
of course.
Falls Count Anywhere?
Yeah.
There was like this crazy like 30-man match or something like
that. Yeah, yeah. They went to the back and all, yeah,
Like that wrestling, I remember you taped that WrestleMania from me, my uncle. And that was my earliest memory being into wrestling. And I was like, I'm all in. You know what I'm saying? And then you came along and you bring a certain, I don't know if you know this about yourself, you bring a certain enthusiasm to something where, like,
when I'm passionate about it.
You like, someone can't be a casual fan of anything next to you. Like, you will talk someone's head off about some shit to where, like, you're like, alright, I have to learn everything about this to be able to hang out with my friend.
So I probably
was watching, like, not you mentioned, I probably was watching wrestling before you,
yeah,
but I wasn't as big a fan until you came along and, like, schooled me to, like, everything.
Yeah.
And, like, that's still going on 19, 20 years later.
Because I do remember WrestleMania 17, but I wasn't a big fan back then. I remember the main event, Austin versus The Rock. This was when Stone Cold made his big heel turn. He became a bad guy.
Okay.
And nobody wanted him to become a bad guy. So nobody wanted, because nobody wanted to boo Austin. And this is the problem, just to explain to, you know, some of the casual fans that may be listening now, the biggest problem with turning someone heel is getting people to actually boo that person, to not like that person.
Okay.
Stone Cold Steve Austin was one of the most beloved wrestlers of, you know, in all of history, you know what I mean? I should say. So to make him a bad guy just didn't work. It just did not work. But I remember that because shortly after that, I don't know if you remember this, but the invasion angle started.
Oh, yeah.
With WCW and ECW. It was right after WrestleMania.
And that's return face again.
Yeah, exactly. But that was after the invasion. He turned face after the invasion angle because he was still a heel during that angle. But it just didn't work. He felt like a baby face, you know, because everybody just still loved him. But just going back to, you know, the music thing again, wrestling, we both started watching it when he was really young. You got out of it. I'm still into it to this day. But music, I remember it was do you remember a group called The Men? Right?
The Men,
you know? Okay, well. Or what was the other one we came with?
Oh, this is Us?
Yeah.
This was Us. Oh, let's not talk about
by Us. By Us, I mean myself, you, and my boy Kadir.
I remember BK Ballers.
I was just about to bring that up.
Yeah.
Apparently, there was another BK Ballers group, okay, back then, but I don't remember what the group consists of. But this is when... Ladies and gentlemen, we was recording over the phone. Okay,
yeah.
I had a tape recorder, or Austin had a tape recorder.
I was recording on my little sister's. She had this like pink and white like Barbie recorder, and you put the Barbie tapes into the recorder, and you were supposed to record karaoke.
Little karaoke machine, yeah.
But like, you could somehow you could erase everything on there and tape over the karaoke songs. So I would put the phone up to the tape recorder, and we would just spit out very trash verses and record on the karaoke recorder.
Horrible. I remember my earliest memory of like recording music would probably be like I made a song called Surfing in the Water. I kid you not. The hook was something like Surfing in the Water. I wanted to record a video and all of that.
Yeah, because we was kids, so we put everything that we was doing in the raps. So we probably was talking about wrestling in the raps.
I think a lot of it was talking about wrestling. Yeah, a lot of it was wrestling. A lot of it was fabricated stories that none of us has ever been through.
But that era that we both got into wrestling, I got into it like at the thick of the Attitude Era. You got into it like the tail end. Like wrestling was bad hip hop. It had the same feel as rap music. That's why when you look at rappers beefing, like the main analogy is that's a WWE.
Yeah, definitely. I mean. Yeah, but those times, those was the best times. Though, even though the lyrics was trash,
yeah.
I mean, and that also like propelled us in different ways. I mean, look at it. We started our old show on Buddy Arrow. And that's partly the reason why I wanted to continue doing the podcast.
I was also a wrestler.
Let's get into that a little bit.
Briefly, because, I am a working man right now. I'm a writer for an advertising agency. I have I have a job to protect. So, like, I'm not trying to, like, have bad stuff out there about me. But, so, we used to, matter of fact, I'm probably gonna cut this part out. But we used to have this, like, little internet radio show on an undisclosed website under an undisclosed name. And
we'll edit it out.
And we used our rap names, which are also gonna be undisclosed.
Oh, man.
And we would just rap. And we would, like, beef with each other.
Yeah.
We would beef with each other. And then, like, at one point, it became a show where, like, me and, like, my, like, 5 to 10 friends who rap would just get on the phone. Because that's how you got on the station. You had to call each other. You got on the phone. And just
we had a legitimate number to the show.
Yeah, like, that's also undisclosed. And we would just diss each other. Like, we would record diss songs to each other and play them for each other on the phone.
Yeah, but it's crazy.
Very staged, very WWF.
Yeah, very staged. All right, it was work, as we called it in the rest of the world. Anything that.
Finish your thought.
I was gonna say, like, anything, you know, in wrestling that is predetermined, okay, it's considered a work. Like, the person knows that it's gonna happen, you know, before it actually happens. It's not real. A shoot would be considered something that's real, that is not predetermined, is not staged, it's a shoot. So
this man went to wrestling school, okay? He takes wrestling fandom to a different level.
Let's not deceive the people.
But you knew you were never going to be a wrestler, and you went to wrestling school anyway. Just for the fun of it.
It definitely wasn't fun. It's fun now, but back then, to take a bump, okay, is something that people, and when people don't, for those that don't know what a bump is, it's any type of fall that you take in wrestling. Anytime you see a guy get hit and he hit the mat, that's called taking a bump. So, and people think that ring is like a trampoline under it. It's not. It's wood, okay, and a thin piece of like padding. And then like canvas, and that's it. That's the ring right there. And these guys, that's why I have so much respect for the business, because these guys are going out there night in, night out, taking these what we call back bumps, where you fall flat on your back. You fall flat on your back, you get up flat on your back, and you do that over and over and over again. The wrestling school thing that you're referring to, what Austin is referring to, is Ring of Honor used to do these wrestling classes or... it wasn't like a seminar, but it was like you could come, you pay a little money, and you could talk to whoever the head trainer was there, and just get a feel for what these guys go through. I went down to Philadelphia, took that first bump, it hurt like hell. I didn't want to get back up, and I said, maybe I try this again in a few years. Needless to say, I didn't try it again.
Yeah, but you still were passionate enough that... Even against your better judgment, you went for it.
Where do you see yourself in 5 years?
5 years.
Do you have a 5-year plan?
I have like a 5-month plan.
Okay.
All right. So let's start there.
Okay.
I mentioned that I'm moving into a writing position at this advertising agency. The technical term is called copywriting.
Okay.
So I'm gonna be a copywriter at this agency.
Nice.
And I hope to, like, stack some bread doing that. And also stack some bread freelancing, doing freelance journalism.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully buy that dream studio and help people make music.
That's great. Okay, that's...
So if I could be there in 5 years, then that's great.
Yeah, that's definitely... At least you have a vision... You know, and you know where you want to go. I mean, and I feel like as young black males, especially, you know, I feel like we all should try to have a plan where we want to end up, where we want to go. Maybe not 5 years, maybe even 10 years. You know, where you want to be in 10 years. But I say 5 just because, you know, to me, five is a short-term plan, because 5 years go by like that. You never, you know what I'm saying? So, it's interesting to have a five-year
plan. What's your five-year plan?
My five-year plan is, well, first, I want to be finished with school. That's the first thing I want to do. Finish school. I want to try to get into a radio station, any radio station. I don't care what station it is, where, you know,
you,
I want to get into a station.
You move for that?
I would move for that. Yeah. I definitely would move for that. I would, if I got to go to, like, Kansas or something, you know what I mean? Listen, that's what I want to do, you know? And eventually, I do want to make it back to New York. Of course, this is my home, you know, so I want to make it back there. I want to eventually, I don't necessarily want to be an on-air personality, but I definitely want to have a lot to do with the behind the scenes of everything. Also, I was thinking about television, and I want to explore, you know, my skills at writing as well. You know, I'm not as good as you, but I definitely want to try to, you know, hone my craft a little bit. Yeah, you know?
Not to cut you up, but yeah. Everyone's a writer. It's just.
Because everyone has a story.
Yeah.
Think about it.
I wasn't even gonna say that. That was good though. Everyone's a writer. See, you know what I mean? But what I was gonna say is everyone's a writer. It just depends on how much you write.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, like if you don't write every day, you're not gonna be as good as someone who does. But everyone is a writer. Everyone has it in them to be a writer. Yeah.
Okay. Well. You kept me waiting all this time for this name of this podcast. This illustrious name that you have in mind.
You know what? It was predetermined that I was gonna make the weight. And because it's a work, the title should be Works in Progress.
Works in Progress.
Works in Progress. Because if you cannot tell by this podcast, we have no format for this yet. We're just talking.
This is just raw. You guys are hearing it as it happens.
It's chaos, but it's predetermined chaos. Works in progress.
Sounds like a hardcore match.
Works in progress, you know?
Okay, and I know we was talking a little bit before we went on air.
Triple R, Tom, don't even ask. We have...
I think you can find my fucking shot the hole. But yeah, yeah, we was talking a lot before we even started, you know, recording this about different ideas, and you guys heard some of the ideas. This is basically a template, I guess, of how the show's gonna go. Just explain to everyone what you explained to me while we was driving to the car. Driving to the car. Wow, that's gonna be edited out.
Nah, leave it. It's raw.
All right. But as we was in the car driving.
Yeah, we was in the car. Yeah. So. What I was explaining to Mike, and I think this holds true, and I think I'm right in this, is that no other 24-year-old black male from Brooklyn knows as much about wrestling as this man right here. And I really think that more black people, more hip-hop fans, more people who are involved in the hip-hop culture love wrestling than a lot of people think, and they sometimes just don't feel welcomed, you know. I think you could be that welcoming voice to, like, you know, you could be that black voice in wrestling coverage, you could be that hip-hop voice in wrestling coverage. Shout out to Peter Rosenberg, you know what I'm saying? He's really the only person I know, but even he can't reach the certain type of people that you can reach because he's not of that type of demographic. Yeah. I think you are. And I think you have a lot of, like I said, passion and enthusiasm, and people are just drawn to that. And I think you can really include a lot of people into this world of wrestling who otherwise feel like they're outcasts, you know? Wrestling is American. Like, wrestling is one of the most American things there is.
Well, professional wrestling.
Professional wrestling is one of the most American things there is. So... most Americans have some type of relationship with wrestling. Like, most of Americans are probably like me. We're like, probably from like 8 to 14, they loved wrestling. And they just grew out of it. But you can still relate to people even if they grew out of it. You can still bring that little 10-year-old out of them and sit down and have a conversation and make them feel welcomed in the world of wrestling again. And it's just, it's about relatability. You know what I'm saying? You can make something that is niche you can make it relatable. You can bring more people in, and that's always a good thing. That's always a good thing to be relatable. So I think that's what this podcast should be. Mm-hmm. You should make wrestling relatable to young black men and women who otherwise feel like...
Yeah, because like you mentioned, I go to the shows, and I mean, yeah, it's... Wrestling, professional wrestling has always been, like, predominantly, you know, white males in their 20s to early 30s at these events. It's just, I'm not trying to be, you know, that guy saying, yeah, it's just white people that watch it. No, it's not just white people that watch it, but...
It's white people that go to the show.
That go to the show, yeah. So, you know, and
That's because a lot of black people are, like... A lot of black wrestling fans like closet wrestling because it's not cool. Like, like post attitude era wrestling, just to a lot of people doesn't feel cool. But I think you have the expertise and the knowledge to like put them on to some shit. Like play them a match. Like, yo, like this is as good if not better as the wrestling that you were a fan of when you were a kid.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. So I like that idea, and I definitely am gonna go with it. Some of the ideas I was talking to you about is, you know, I do wanna try to interview someone. Maybe not every episode. Some of the shows I'll break down. Like if I watched the Raw last night, like we're recording this on a Tuesday, right? And you know, usually this show drops on Tuesday.
You should break down Raw every week.
Yeah, that's what I was considering doing. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna break down Raw. You know, and I will have different people on, different people that are doing things, people that you don't even hear about, people just from local people from your neighborhood that you never know. In 3 to 5 years, they may be the people that you're paying to go see, or you're watching on television, and you hear their story before all of the fame and everything. You're gonna hear it Raw. So I want, and that's what I had in mind. Like, I do want to take wrestling and bring it to a different dynamic and different, demographic. And, you know, I want to explore that, but I also want to give people like myself and my age group a chance to speak and to get out and promote what they have going. Because there's so many people that I know, probably that you know, that's out there that just... They want to get their voice out there. They want to be, you know, they want to promote themselves. They want to just have that chance. And I know I'm still building my audience, you know, also. But if I can build my audience and help somebody else out at the same time, I'm going to do that. Yeah. You know? So that's what I feel like this podcast should be about. About not just wrestling, even though it's, you know, majority wrestling that's going to be spoken about here. I want to be able to get out. I want to be able to help people.
And it's a podcast about reaching out. It's just wrestling is just the medium that we're doing it within, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
And while you were talking, is SmackDown going to be on Tuesdays now?
Yes, SmackDown will be live.
You should record every Wednesday and break down Monday Night Raw and Tuesday SmackDown. Night SmackDown. And you should drop every Wednesday.
Yeah, that, you know what? That's a better idea. I was gonna do it every Tuesday, but Wednesday sounds better because SmackDown's going live on Tuesday now. For those that don't know, SmackDown was always taped on Tuesday, and they broadcast it on Thursday, heavily edited. That's why I don't even go to SmackDown anymore. But I'll go to SmackDown now because it's live, and you cannot beat that live feeling. Like, it's bad now. I don't go to WWE events unless it's live. Unless it's a live Raw, a live... I was at SummerSlam in Brooklyn last year. I went to everything in Brooklyn last year. Mm-hmm. I went to... There's a developmental brand, but it's not even developmental anymore. It's called NXT, and it's on the WWE Network. Because WWE has their own network. Now, which is amazing, and the value, and I'm not even a WWE mark. Like it's an amazing value for $10 a month. Like it's like Netflix, you know. And it's they giving you so much content.
You watch all the pay-per-views on there, right?
All the pay-per-views for $10, mind you. You remember back in the day when you
pay-per-views like $60 back then.
If you got the regular pay-per-views was like $50. If you was getting it in HD when they first started that, it was like $65, almost $70 for HD.
Yeah,
you're getting all of those HD wrestling events for $10. You cannot beat that. Yeah,
you know? You can watch all the pay-per-views from the past, right?
Yes, you can watch all the pay-per-views
from the past. I can go in there and watch the WrestleMania 16 and my uncle tape for me.
Exactly. This podcast has been great.
Works in progress.
Works in progress. I like the idea. I like the name. Works in progress. I think, is there anything you want to add to it?
Or do you want to cover everything? I want to shout out me and Mike's very good friend, Kadir.
I want to get him on the show.
Yeah, I want to shout him out because he also has a podcast coming soon. And me and him actually been talking about, I just want to help my friends do whatever they can. So I've been helping Kadir with ideas for his podcast. I was talking to Kadir about a podcast even before you brought this idea to the table.
Yeah.
And Kadir, we gonna get that going. I also want to shout out two very important mentors of mine. Gerald Ernst, he's like a second father figure to me. And a new mentor who like just starting a new direction. I appreciate everything about her. The beautiful inside and out, beautiful mind, very intelligent. Really appreciate her. Rajul Punjabi, I'm sorry, your name. I'm sick right now.
I'm cold.
Yeah, she was my professor. She's okay. Great. One of the smartest people who like ever taught me, and I was like hella lazy in her class. I feel bad about that like every day, but you know, shout out to you. You're special.
All right. Well, before I let you go, what was your favorite moment that you ever seen in pro wrestling that you can remember?
I'm gonna give you two. I'm gonna give you my favorite moment and my most heartbreaking moment. Okay. Favorite moment was, it was on a Monday Night Raw. It was toward the end of Jeff Hardy's career. Okay. Like WWE. He's not. Did he come back or like?
He came back after. I think I know what you're talking about. Talking about the ladder match?
Yeah, with Undertaker.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. So yeah, he after that.
Did he come back?
Come back. He had a great run. He became world champion when he came back. But,
okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know about that, but yeah. One of my favorite moments. He had the ladder match with the Undertaker, mm-hmm. and I still, when I need inspiration for my life, like I still watch. The cut, you know how like WWE will do like they'll have a match and they'll do like this promotional cut, mm-hmm. of like just like a recap of the match,
yeah,
and like it'll be really cinematic and it'll have like the music and all, mm-hmm. that. I still watch that cut like to this day where I need to feel like, you know, where I need to get that inspiration to persevere.
Yeah,
bro, there were so many like false finishes where you thought he was gonna get it and then he didn't get it, and then like.
Great, it put Jeff Hardy on a match.
Yeah, that was a crazy match. Like, yeah. That was a hell of a match.
And what people don't know is Undertaker respected Jeff so much more after that match.
Yeah. That wasn't fake.
No, that was a shoot. After the match, I can't remember. Did they shake hands at the...
Yeah, like
or
literally...
Pick him up and
he
say,
picked him up and he raised his hand because he was like, yo,
that was
you're...
A shoot. That was all legit.
Oh my god.
That was all legit.
That makes you feel even better about it. Yeah, like, yeah. I still use that as inspiration throughout my day-to-day life just to get through things.
Yeah, because Undertaker, what people don't realize is the Undertaker, or maybe they do, he is the big dog backstage. Like, nothing goes without his approval. You know, Undertaker, well, maybe not now so much because he's not around as much as he was before. Yeah. He wrestles maybe once or twice a year.
Yeah.
But back then, in those days, if you had an issue, you dealt with him. You ain't deal with Vince McMahon. Vince McMahon was the very last. So, but as far as what they call the boys are the wrestlers, you know, anybody that, the boys and girls, are, that's the term they use to call each other, to refer to each other.
Uh-huh.
So all of the boys, they answer to the Undertaker.
Okay.
So for him to do that.
Yeah, that makes you feel, that already is my favorite moment. Now it's by far my favorite moment.
Okay.
And the most heartbreaking moment was after Randy Orton won the World Heavyweight Championship when he was in Evolution. And they turned on the dog. Oh, man.
You called me about this, too. I think he was just like, yo, why would they do
that? I was like, Randy Orton was my dog, bro.
Yo. They beat him up. They busted him open and all that.
I was like, what?
Who did Randy beat to win it?
That might happen the same year, though, right?
I think Randy Orton won the world title in 2004. That was his first. He was the youngest world champion in history at the time.
When the Undertaker Jeff Hardy they had?
Maybe 2002, around there.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so that makes sense that the Randy Orton thing happened in 2004 because that's one of my last memories of my, I'm not saying I stopped watching because of that,
yeah.
But like, that definitely was one of the last memories. I was like, alright, fuck this shit.
WWE won't say who Randy Orton beat for the title. Just like WrestleMania 20, the main event, apparently, the main event is now Triple H versus Shawn Michaels for the vacant world title.
What?
It's not true.
Was it one of the wrestlers that did some crazy shit?
Yeah. Chris Benoit?
Like,
he doesn't ring any bells. But
dang, that's crazy.
I think he was in the match, right?
That's crazy.
I think he won the match. Actually, no. According to WWE, it was vacant. Nobody won the Shawn Michaels versus Triple H match, so it was vacant into SummerSlam of that year, and Randy Orton won it from vacant. But yeah, all
shout out to head injury, shout out to CTE.
But Austin, we gonna wrap this. Like I said, cause
on that very controversial note.
Yeah, thank you, my brother, my friend. Thanks a lot. You heard it here, raw.
Works in progress. That was good.
Yes, it was. We went for an hour.
Yeah, like a lot of podcasts crazy. Do that. Like,
person. Yeah, I'd like to personally thank the boy, Austin Williams, for coming on and being the first guest on my podcast. Again, if you need the information on how to find us, it's in the intro of the show. Next show, I'll be talking about Money in the Bank. And you'll get to hear my post-interview that I conducted with Ty Wiz after his performance on June 9th. So once again, thank you for listening. Hit me up for anything. And hit me up if you want to be a future guest on the show so we can talk wrestling.
Person.